Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, October 29th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Another embarrassing moment for President Robert Mugabe as he stumbled and nearly toppled backwards at the India-Africa summit currently underway in New Delhi today.
Now we have come to a position where the president has completely brought the country into disrepute, completely showed the rest of the world that his edge is limiting him in terms of his work and in terms of his ability.
The opposition applauds the Constitutional Court for slapping Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana with a jail term for contempt of court for failing to obey court orders.
And assuming that he has got a conscience, I would actually want to appeal to Johannes and tell him that if I were him, I would proceed to immediately tender my resignation.
And Movement for Democratic Change leader Morgan Tsvangirai says ZANU-PF has run out of ideas to pull Zimbabwe out of its economic crisis.
In the first instance, we need to restore confidence in the economy, both nationally and internationally, which means that we need to address the perceptions.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Another embarrassing moment for President Robert Mugabe as he stumbled and nearly toppled backwards at a summit currently underway in India today. Looking tired and weak, Mr. Mugabe lost balance and staggered as he tried to climb a tiny stage to greet Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Three people, including Modi, sprang to action and helped Mr. Mugabe gain his balance. As he left the podium, Mr. Modi and other people again held Mr. Mugabe and made sure he didn't trip. The 91-year-old president grabbed international headlines in February after tumbling headlong at the Harare International Airport. And today's incident has already gone viral, with many people sharing the footage online and on social media. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached political analyst Dr. Nkululeko Sibanda, who says these are clear signs that old age has caught up with Mr. Mugabe and that he should therefore step down.
I think it is a huge embarrassment both to the president himself, to the nation, and to every Zimbabwean in this world who has been subjected today by images coming out of India showing the president failing to step on a no more than 5-inch step and attempting more than once to do so, but completely failing until he gets some help. It's also worrying that the people that the president relies upon, his medical people, his guards, his planners, were unable to foresee or to foretell that the president will be unable to ascend on that single step. It's a single step, and we must underline that. And that, in effect, these people could have got that step completely removed, completely smoothened out, as you would do when there is a disabled person who needs to get onto the podium. Now, we have come to a position where the president has completely brought the country into disrepute, completely showed the rest of the world that his edge is limiting him in terms of his work and in terms of his ability.
Is this another sign, Dr. Sibanda, for Mr. Mugabe to step down and probably enjoy old age or deal with old age from the privacy of his home?
Yes, you would hope that the president and the people around him realize finally that continuing to allow the president to exercise his duties as president is nearly an abuse of his human rights. It is nearly an abuse of him as a person, and it is an abuse of the nation as a whole. And I think that the president and the people around him should not behave or think as if the president was somehow immune to nature, that it somehow didn't matter that he's old. I think that's one of the clearest signs in the eyes of the rest of the world that the president, he must, for his own sake, rest, for the sake of the history of our country.
That was our political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from England.
I am Blessing Zulu. This week, I'll be bringing you a range of interviews from ZANU-PF and Zimbabwe's opposition parties on their solutions to the country's economic and political crisis. Today, we have an interview with MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai, and tomorrow, we have a one-on-one interview with ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo. Don't miss this very important series.
Some Zimbabweans in the United Kingdom are staging peaceful demonstrations to protest the invasion of a white commercial farm owned by Philip Rankin, who has been under siege for more than 3 weeks now. A Zimbabwean-born Dr. Sylvester Nyaturo, based in the UK with alleged links to ZANU-PF, is said to be trying to take over the farm in Mashonaland Central with a tobacco crop worth more than $360,000. Ephraim Tapa of Zimbabwe Vigil tells Studio 7 the protests are being staged outside the doctor's offices in Nottingham are designed to seek the revocation of Dr. Nyaturo's license and deportation to Zimbabwe if he is not yet a British citizen.
Zimbabweans in the UK, mostly representing the Zimbabwe Vigil, the Restoration of Human Rights, Zimbabwe Yes We Can campaign, and other, you know, organizations. We gathered outside the doctor's surgery where we protested against the kind of hypocrisy that we seem to be seeing, and we were saying no to violence, no to continued human rights abuses.
Are you going to have more protests?
We certainly will. It reminds me of, in 1994 when Mugabe was conferred knighthood by the Queen. But they took it away in 2008 following a violent election in Zimbabwe. We are saying if British citizenship was conferred possibly because of his good deeds or whatever reason, surely it must now be revoked, given that he is of violent tendencies and doesn't respect other people's rights.
And that was Ephraim Taba of Zimbabwe Vigil speaking with Studio 7 from London. Dr. Nyaturo was not available for comment as his lawyer Stephen Pearson of Fritz LLP Solicitors in Nottingham was not responding to calls as he was said to be busy. The leader of the opposition movement for democratic change, Morgan Tsvangirai, says the country's economy is now a train wreck owing to ZANU-PF's policy inconsistencies. His remarks come as the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries reports that capacity utilization in the manufacturing sector has declined to 34.4% this year compared to 36.5%. In our continuing discussion with political party leaders, Tsvangirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the country needs to restore confidence in the economy first.
The economy has got both structural and policy metrics that need to be addressed. In the first instance, you need to restore confidence in the economy, both nationally and internationally, which means that you need to address the perceptions that are created by ZANU-PF's policy. Today they have indigenization, tomorrow they are flip-flopping to try to revise it. They've been on the structural adjustment program, which is called the staff monitoring program. Some ministers are choosing other ministers to betray the people. Chinamasa is alone, is being accused by Chihuahua and Muchangwa on there. So that kind of conflict in cabinet, as far as policy is concerned, causes confusion and undermines the very same basis of confidence in the economy. One of the critical things that is important is, of course, political and economic reform. We need to demonstrate to the outside world that we are a country that is committed to the rule of law, free elections, stability. That way, we'll restore that confidence. Of course, there are other fundamental issues that need to be followed. We need to look at our infrastructure, which has not been rehabilitated for a long time. Energy, railways, roads, all those things are very important to restore market confidence. Besides, we need to reconstitute our manufacturing industry.
And what is your take on Mr. Mugabe remaining at the helm? Can this be related to the ailing economy as well?
Well, leadership is important. President Mugabe has presided over this economic decline over the last 35 years. I don't think his age is any benefit in building confidence in the economy. Without new blood, without new thinking, it will still be open as usual. So, yes, the continued leadership role of President Mugabe has a direct impact in which government policy is formulated.
And, of course, ZANU-PF is your rival, but are you at all shocked by the level of factionalism in the ruling party?
Well, it's self-destructive. Divisiveness, it's unprecedented. We have never witnessed this. It's almost like the sender is not holding. All political organizations have a tendency to factionalize and tendency to disagree, but not to the extent of self-destructive postures that we see in ZANU-PF. At the moment, with such economic and social political crisis we face, you can't expect a lack of cohesion on policy from a group which is at each other's throat. That is the danger we face. We face an unfolding chaos.
And are there any talks with other political parties with the intention of forming a coalition, say, with Amai Mujuru?
Well, I've often said that the position of the MDC is that engaging in the talks is not the same as negotiation. Obviously, as political parties, people talk across the political divide. People are searching for the way forward. But unfortunately, the dual camp, as it is known, as people say, has not concretized what they want to do. So until that time, they are building institutions. I think the MDC will be reluctant to engage with individuals rather than with institutions. So I'm sure they're working on that. I'm sure they're working on their constitution, they're working on the building of party. And it is at that stage that, like all the other parties we are trying to group under the National Convention, they will play a part. We don't discriminate against anyone who wants to play a part.
That was leader of the opposition movement for democratic change, Morgan Tsvangirai, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, analysts discuss the implications of yesterday's Constitutional Court ruling slapping the Prosecutor General with a jail term. But first of all, let's take a look at regional and international news. Tanzania's Electoral Commission says ruling party candidate John Magufuli has won the presidential election. The commission said today that the CCM party's Magufuli defeated main challenger Edward Lowassa of the opposition Chadema party 58-40%. The European Union Parliament has awarded its annual Sakharov Prize for Human Rights to Raif Badawi, a Saudi Arabian blogger sentenced to 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashes for insulting Muslim clerics. And Russian police have detained the director of a Ukrainian library in Moscow on suspicion of inciting ethnic hatred. Opposition parties and members of the legal fraternity are calling on Prosecutor General Johannes Thomana to resign after he was slapped with a 30-day jail term for refusing to prosecute two cases, one of which involves the alleged rape of a minor by a top ZANU-PF politician. Thomana repeatedly defied calls to prosecute the cases. He also ignored various court orders to allow private prosecutions of ZANU-PF lawmaker Munyara Dzikereke and businesswoman Jane Mutasa. But in an unprecedented ruling, the full constitutional court ordered him to be jailed for defying the law he is supposed to uphold as the country's top lawyer. The court gave him 10 days to appeal. Thomana is understood to be a key ally of Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa in ZANU-PF's bitter succession matrix. The Law Society of Zimbabwe is said to be looking into ways of forcing Thomana to resign. For perspective, we turned to political analyst Nhlanhla Dube and Obed Gudu, opposition MDCT spokesman. Gudu kicks off the conversation saying the judgment handed to Thomana vindicates his party that has previously complained about his alleged lack of professionalism.
When you read the judgment that was handed down by the Constitutional Court yesterday, particularly the very scathing remarks that were given by the Chief Justice of the country, you actually feel sad and you feel very extremely disconcerted on behalf of Thomana, because what it basically means is that Mr. Thomana has actually, humiliated himself. He has put both himself as a private individual, also himself as a legal practitioner, as a member of the court. The more important thing, himself as a senior public official, i.e., as the country's prosecutor general, into serious disrepute. And assuming that he has got a conscience, I would actually want to appeal to Johannes and tell him that if I were him, I would proceed to immediately tender my resignation.
Okay, Mr. Dube, your thoughts?
Thank you, Chris. Honorable Gutu has spoken quite broadly about what it means, in terms of the office that Mr. Thomana holds in state affairs. Secondly, he has spoken to the consequences, certainly, that should or might befall him if he does not execute the instructions, if you like, judgment of the judges. But I want to say that it is symptomatic of the problem that we have got in the country. The problem being that there's been lack of separation of institutions of state and the political party in power, the ruling political party. So what it then means is that institutions of state are used and abused willy-nilly by the party in government.
Mr. Gutu, apart from appealing to the Law Society and other organizations, what else are you as a party going to do about Mr. Thomana?
The party, we are, as I've already indicated to you, Chris, very, very concerned, indeed very disturbed, very saddened by Mr. Thomana's conduct. As I've already said, this is not a one-off situation. If we go back a few years ago, when Johannes Thomana was still the Attorney General of Zimbabwe, during the time when the office of the Attorney General was tasked constitutionally with the mandate to prosecute criminal cases of the matter, he was actually on the record. He had a terrible record of being partisan in the manner in which he prosecuted matters. He actually has been a person who has come out publicly to say that when he was Attorney General, he came out publicly. He was on national television. He was in the national newspapers saying that I am a ZANU-PF supporter. And here we had a person who was the then Attorney General coming out so publicly to say that is my political affiliation. Of course, we appreciate that everyone has got a right to hold their own political affiliation. But as soon as you assume the office of the Attorney General then, or the Prosecutor General then, or even to be a judge
of the High Court. As you know, the position of the Prosecutor General actually ranks pari passu, or that is on the same level with the position of a judge of the Supreme Court. You are not supposed to be politically active.
There's no unity of purpose. There is nothing. People are just going on like nothing has happened. As a political science student, Mr. Dube, what do you think about such an incident regarding the reaction of both the political parties and the people in general?
The difficulty is that the situation in Zimbabwe is that it's each man for himself in terms of political parties. There is no common objective, there's no common agenda. So there's no agreed value and principle base which are sacrosanct, which all political parties can agree to defend.
That was political analyst Nhlanhla Dube in a panel discussion with MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu. Many youths in Chinoy are now resorting to gambling and betting as a form of employment as the economic crisis continues to worsen in the country. Arthur Chigoriwa is more from the Mashonaland West provincial capital.
Muzali Lodensit suburb youth, 21-year-old Shakespeare Mulilo, says in the absence of jobs in the country, he has taken to betting, hoping by luck he can make a dollar to live by, as many struggle to make ends meet. On a good day, he says he can get as much as $500 after betting with just $1.
To myself and others, it will be like a form of employment, because rather than to wait for any money outside, it will be difficult to find it. But on betting, you just bet on or even a dollar, then it comes when you bet your teams, you find out you have won maybe 140, 500 and some, or like us, like some of the who are not employed, it would be an advantage for them.
Betting shops are all over the place, with the Africa Bet and Africa Lotto leading the way. The youth can bet on virtually anything that is of interest in a particular world sports. The shops are always packed. Sometimes there's not even room to stand as jobless youth try their luck in a bid to feed their families. Chikono Wono high-density suburb resident George Chitengo said he is surviving on British and Spanish soccer betting and often wins because he knows how the teams play. Another gambler who did not want to be identified said some like him take betting as a hobby and entertainment.
Maybe some of them, they find it as a hobby. Some people find it as a hobby, but most of them, it's a lack of employment.
But some parents are not amused by the number of youth who have turned to gambling, which they say is a vice in the society. Atwell Mazarura is one such parent.
As a Christian country, our Christian principles forbid gambling. Besides that, the definition for betting on gambling is risking your money for a future event.
Spoken Word Ministry Pastor Tonderai Makaya says as a church they are not surprised by the number of youth turning to gambling. He says it is a sign of the times. Makaya says this shows that people are in extreme poverty and like those who gambled during the Bible times, they are desperate to earn a living.
We find it in the book of Nehemiah. People, they were gambling with their inheritance. The reason, because most of them, those people that were left in Israel, other people, they went to Babylon. They don't have a source of, in fact, they were now logged country without any assistance from other people. Because of poverty, because of, you know, lack of anything, they start to sell their thing or they start to gamble with their property. By the end, in fact, Nehemiah, when he come back, he says, no, guys, why are you doing this?
But due to the increased clientele base from mainly the youth, Africa Bet and Africa Lotto have opened more than 100 outlets throughout the country. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Yes, we have a lot of messages, Chris. I'll try to read some of them. The first message does not have a name, but it reads, Makoroko to Amtlope, congratulations to the Angel of Africa, Ernest Paul Mamvura Mwaja of Africa, for turning 97 years on Sunday, 25 October 2015. He was raised from the dead to spearhead the recreation of Africa. Long live Mutumwa wa Mwari, Dumisani uJehova, Kudzai Jehova. Praise the Lord. Definitely, we wish him many, many more years to come. The second message comes from Liberty, who says, guys, how are you? Thank you. You are enlightening us as Zimbabweans. Keep on keeping on. Rose in Polokwane, South Africa, writes to the Cancer Association, thank you very much for offering free checking of breast cancer to the people. Most people cannot afford, considering the high cost of healthcare today. Could you please also go to the rural areas, as many cannot reach town because they cannot afford bus fare? I am talking on behalf of every Zimbabwean. I say thank you, says Rose in Polokwane, South Africa. Brian Malunga in Chinoy says, thank you guys for the good work you are doing. Continue exposing deceptions. Mr. Marimo from Mondoro Mubaira writes, a very good evening to all of you guys. Tashinga Rukwava says, I want to greet all of the Rukwava family and Chibango families in Zimbabwe. A WhatsApp message from a listener calling himself or herself Zin says, we are struggling as we are cotton farmers. We were promised some adjustments at the 1st of October, but up to now we got nothing. So this means we were robbed by the cotton buyers. Also, they bought our cotton with very little, and as much as little, rather, as 30 cents. Now we don't have any food. We were expecting to buy food as they were forcing us to pay 100% their credits, yet it was a poor season. To make matters worse, the government is just looking at those thieves without the top up of our promised money. These are some of the messages that we had for you tonight. But listeners, please continue sending emails to your mailbag on studio7@voanews.com so we can read them on air. You can also send us WhatsApp messages, and you can also leave messages on our hotline. The number is +1 202 205 9942. Then dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice message, which we can play on air. The number once again is +1 202 205 9942, and then dial 11 to leave your message. Good night, Zimbabwe.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts on the Women's Forum will lead discussions about the hunger situation and how rural women in particular are affected. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, but before I leave, let's recap today's top stories. Another embarrassing moment for President Robert Mugabe as he stumbled and nearly toppled backwards at the India-Africa summit currently underway in New Delhi today. The opposition applauds the Constitutional Court for slapping Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana with a jail term for contempt of court for failing to obey court orders. And MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says ZANU-PF has run out of ideas to pull Zimbabwe out of its economic crisis. That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages. This is Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night, leaving you in the capable hands of Ntunga Milinkomo.